We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Hey, we're back. Ducks and Sari, Albert Nico, your weekend lawyers, all things legal. Give us a call, 260-1870. And, Albert, we I guess we won't be preempted for any preseason games this year. So
no, we won't be preempted at all this year, I have a feeling. We'll be with the city every Sunday morning. So, like it or not, folks, we're going to be probably – broadcasting every Sunday morning right here on WWL, the Big 870. And it's good. I mean, we enjoy doing it, and hopefully you guys enjoy listening.
Yeah.
I wanted to.
Go ahead. You go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, I wanted to bring up, I've been getting a lot of claims. You know, people have been building new homes, and I wanted to just spend a minute, if I could, talking about the New Home Warranty Act and what that means and what you as a homeowner needs to know. When you sign a contract to build a new home, now this is not for renovation, but for a new home, the New Home Warranty Act applies to your claim, applies to your contract. And so basically what it does is it gives you as a homeowner a warranty, for which you have three separate peremptive periods, which is different from a prescriptive period. But basically, it's
all right. I'll stop you there for the law graduates who didn't take the bar exam. Could you explain the difference between peremptive period and prescriptive period?
A prescriptive period can be interrupted. A peremptive period cannot. So, you know, if you don't know that someone has harmed you. And then you discover that, oh, wow, this person harmed me, or my damages came to light, or whatever the case may be. For instance, in a new home, let's say it's a renovation, and somebody did some plumbing work, and all of a sudden, you know, 3 years later, you find out that there's a leak and they did it incorrectly. You still have a claim against contractors and subcontractors up to 5 years, but you have a one-year you have 1 year from the date of discovery to file that lawsuit, whereas under preemption, it doesn't matter when you discovered it. You've got, if it's a 1 year preemptive period, you've got 1 year from the date of the occurrence. So, in substantial completion or the date that you move into the home or get a certificate of occupancy, those are all different start dates for this 1 year, 2 year, and 5 year period. The 1 year period is a warranty for just general building construction standards, whether it's involving with building codes or whether it's a claim involving just general building construction. They didn't do it correctly, didn't follow the manufacturer's technical data sheet or whatever the case may be. You have 1 year to bring those claims. After that, you're done. So if you've got a siding issue, if you've got a problem, you better find out within the year. Otherwise, the New Home Warranty Act cuts you off after a year. For systems, you have 2 years. That would be the electrical system, the HVAC, the air conditioning, heating, ventilation system, and then the plumbing system. You have 2 years to bring the claim. And then for our foundation and structure, you have 5 years. After 5 years, you no longer have a claim against your contractor under the New Home Warranty Act. So, it's important that you bring your claims timely. And the thing that you have to do within that period of time is send a certified letter to your contractor describing all of the defects. And then you must file suit within 30 days after those peremptive periods. So if it's a one-year peremptive period, you've got to actually file the lawsuit within 1 year and 30 days of being of moving into the house. If you don't provide this notice to the contractor by certified mail, your claim can be thrown out and you have no coverage. There are other things that I want to talk about too. What is excluded? You know, fences, driveways, sidewalks. Those are all excluded from the New Home Warranty Act. And so you really don't have a claim.
Well, like,
yeah, and landscaping, all kinds of things are excluded. And so you can add those to your contract. So if you're contracting with a lawyer, I'm sorry, with a contractor to build a new home, please, please have somebody look at your contract. You know, have us look at your contract. And we will be able to add those things to say, look, we're going to go ahead and warranty that driveway for a year or the sidewalk for a year or whatever you can negotiate with the contractor and take out some of these exclusions. So, you know, certainly you can have that document changed. So and you can extend the warranty periods by contract. But those are the minimums required by the law. So please have your contract reviewed. It's not an expensive process usually, and you can go back and forth. And, you know, when you're building homes these days, you know, you're starting at $100,000+. So it's worth it to spend a few dollars on the front end to make sure that there are certain things that you in protections that you have in your building contract to protect you moving forward from your contractor. Not that, you know, contractors are bad. We represent a lot of them, and we, you know, represent them and give them advice to protect their interests. So, you know, you need someone protecting yours as a homeowner as well.
Well, also, too, when you do the contract, if you could talk about this, we've had a lot of contracts that are drafted by contractors that the homeowner signs, and they have issues regarding not having an end date, not establishing,
a completion date.
Completion date. And what would happen if you don't, if you do have a completion date, what would be the remedy for that? You know, that's very important, because if you don't have an established completion date, then you would have an issue regarding, you know, timeliness, because, you know, sometimes a project could extend a year. You know, if you're thinking a project's going to extend 6 months and you plan on moving in 6 months, but you don't have a completion date in your contract and it takes a year and a half, you're paying for two houses for a year and a half. And after, I guess after the break, we can talk about what the problem would be with that particular issue. All right, let's go to a break. Doug Cinceri, Albert Nico, your weekend lawyers, all things legal. We'll be right back after this brief timeout. Hey, we're back. Doug Cinceri, Albert Nico, your weekend lawyers, all things legal. We'll be on till 10 o'clock. You can call us at a law firm at 504-837-1304, 504-837-1304, if you've got any questions off air. Let's go to the phone lines. Let's go to Leon. He's got a question regarding adoption. Hey, Leon, you on all things legal with Dex and Sarah and Albert Nico.
Hey, Doug and Albert. How y'all doing today?
Good.
What's going on, Leon?
That's great. Hey, look, I called y'all a couple of times on this case of trying to adopt my grandbaby.
Yes.
And I've been hearing out on the radio and the news about they doing these Zooms.
Yes.
You know, I guess it's
hearing
space on a computer or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I'm trying to get in touch with a lawyer and see why not, you know, we can't get something moving here.
Well, okay. Are you doing an adoption or are you doing a guardianship?
It's a guardianship that's going to turn into adoption. We had her, and then her mama died, and you know, OCS took her before she died, and we ain't been able to get anything.
Okay. How old's the child?
The child is 6 now.
Okay. Where's dad?
The dad is, he's out there. He gave up his rights.
Oh, gave up his rights? What parish are you in?
Yeah.
What parish is the proceeding?
St. Tammany, Slido.
Okay, St. Tammany. You're in the, well, the adopt, are you doing an, the adoptions in the Covington courthouse, right?
I didn't hear you.
Have you instituted an adoption proceeding?
Yeah, yeah.
That's in Covington, right? That's in the Covington's courthouse, right?
No, it's going to be in the Slidell courthouse.
I don't think you have. I don't think you're doing an adoption proceeding in the Slidell courthouse. There's a difference between adoption and a guardianship. Now, the OCS can place you into guardianship. I'm using lack of a better word. In guardianship of the child in connection with an OCS proceeding, but that's not necessarily adoption. Adoption is saying that your child gets the legal rights of you as a quote parent. So I think it's probably you're in an OCS proceeding in Slidell City Court, whereby they have placed custody in your name. Now, is the child with you right now?
No, the child is with OCS with my
foster
family.
Okay. So I just want to get clear. It's not an adoption proceeding. It's a DFS OCS a proceeding whereby the child's in protective custody. Sounds like they're in a foster care. And that they're going to have a proceeding to determine what would be the long-term physical custody of the child. So that is, yeah. Now, I will tell you this, that the OCS backlog is backlogged, because what happens is with the courts being closed for 4 months, 3 months, that there's a big traffic jam as far as getting cases to docket. If you think about it, you know, if you're on the interstate and you have, you know, a couple of thousand cars, and then the interstate goes down to one lane, you're going to be backed up for a while. And the court system is very similar. So, yes, there are a lot of domestic cases that are in backlog, because you only have in St. Tammany, Slidell, I think you have one or two judges. I think you have one.
Yeah,
if I'm not mistaken.
Last year, the other judge retired.
And so.
And a new judge came in, and that backed us up somewhat. And then the corona came.
Right.
Okay. And that got us backed up. What I'd really like to know is, how bad is this going to hurt my chances?
No,
this goes on.
No, it doesn't hurt your chances. It just, you'll have a delayed proceeding. The chances of you getting custody, presumably, if nothing changes, would be the same a couple of months ago than it is today, or maybe couple of months from now, provided that there were no intervening events that would change that. So the delay is not going to change your rights. It just delays your rights. So, I would agree that there's a lot of domestic cases that have been backlogged, especially since in Slidell City Court, where you just have one judge. I believe there's only one judge. And so you're just in a big traffic jam. It'll eventually work itself out. Most of the courts that have a backlog have an automatic docketing system where they're getting through each case one by one. But unfortunately, if you might have a couple of hundred cases that are backlogged, and you got one judge, and you only have 8 hours a day, 5 days a week, it's just going to take some time. So I don't have any good advice for you except to be patient, and it will be reset. Now, maybe your attorney could just sort of check in with the clerk and sort of encourage them or goose them a little bit and say, let's where is this on the docket? Maybe, encourage them to move along.
Bucktown term, by the way.
Yes, I know. That is a Bucktown term. That's colloquial. That's colloquial. I'm sorry. Mr. Stabler, who is deceased right now, my English teacher, De La Salle, I apologize. But, so, all right. Don't literally goose him. I meant that figuratively. Okay.
I appreciate it, Doug. And y'all have a great weekend, and God bless y'all, man.
God bless you, Leon. All right, thanks for the call. Let's go to phone lines. Let's go to Michael. He's got a question regarding home warranty. Hey, Michael.
Yeah, good morning.
Good morning.
I was calling. I caught the tail end about 10, 15 minutes ago, and I'd like, if you don't mind, I think it was Albert, if you can elaborate again. I am a contractor here in Baton Rouge, and I'd always like to get, you know, more information as I, you know, continue my business. Can you elaborate just for a few minutes how you mentioned the warranty acts with new construction as well as renovations, you know, just so for my knowledge and, you know, how can I protect myself?
Well, from a contractor standpoint, the new home warranty act does not apply to renovations. It only applies to new homes. And so, you know, when you build a new home, whether you build it and sell the lot or whether the homeowner owns the lot, it is governed for new homes only. Renovations, you know, that's a whole separate topic and a whole separate, you know, issue. One of the ways you protect yourself in doing renovations, you want to make sure you have some provisions in the contract that when you make an estimate, you make your estimate based upon what you can see, and you make it very clear that once I open this wall, I cannot confirm that this estimate is going to be maintained because I don't know what I might expect behind the wall. I don't know what the wiring may look like. I don't know if there's any termite damage, any water damage. So you want to have some clauses that protect you in the event that occurs. The other thing as a contractor, you know, when you give an estimate, whether for a renovation or whether for a new home, you want to give yourself an out in the event conditions in the community change, whether they be the result of a pandemic, whether they be the result of, you know, a flood or anything else that might change the price, you know, a shortage of goods. Let's say there's an embargo and we're not getting goods from China or wherever else some products may come from. You want to be able to protect yourself if you have some sort of deadline to complete the renovation or complete the home, by saying in the event something like this occurs, you know, we have the opportunity to extend the contract further until such time, or we have the opportunity to raise the price of the materials, you know, to reflect what the current price is. If it goes up a few bucks, and that's just the risk of the game because it might go down a few bucks. But if there's some issue that causes that, some kind of strike, some kind of, you know, civil unrest, or right, whatever the case may be, that makes it harder to get there. You know, things you want to do is protect yourself. Well, now under the Warranty Act, it's very much slanted. I think I went and testified before the legislature, not this past legislative session, but the session before that, trying to change a lot of the provisions of the new Home Warranty Act. Not to make them more favorable for homeowners, because like I said, I represent both, but just to make them more fair towards the homeowner. And, you know, for instance, just the whole driveway. I mean, you're really going to build a new home and pour a driveway and it not be covered, you know, even if you poured it incorrectly. I mean, that's craziness. So, I mean, those are the little things. Well, the Louisiana home builders packed the house and, you know, it got shut down. A couple of the senators on the committee, Commerce Committee, were contractors, and they were not for it. And so, but I did speak to the realtors, and they're very much interested in helping protect the rights of the homeowner to make it a more fair and balanced act. But you know, keep in mind, so as a contractor, if you build a new home, you've got 1 year, or they've got 1 year to bring an action against you for general building standards and code violations. And if it's
1 year, okay.
But if it's systems, plumbing, electrical, HVAC, they've got 2 years. Okay. And if it's foundation and structure, they got 5. All right. And then they've got to give you notice.
So anytime.
and they've got to give you the opportunity to repair it. Yeah, they've got to give you the opportunity to repair it. They said, look, I've got a problem with my electrical system within the two-year period. You have the right to come out. I'm going to give you 10 days to set up an appointment, come out and take a look at this so we can get it resolved. You have to give that contractor that built your home, the guy that's, you know, sometimes screwed it up, the opportunity to come repair it.
To fix it. Okay. Well, I surely appreciate you all. Y'all are very informative, and y'all have a great day.
Thank you so much. All right, let's go to Janice. She's got a question regarding a property issue. Hey, Janice, you're on All Things Legal.
I have a question. Hey. I have an old fence that I am getting ready to replace, and I have an old survey, and the people behind me bought property after Katrina, and I think I put this fence up right after Katrina because it blew down, and now I'm having to replace the fence. It's all rotten, and they have a shed. Now, when we put the fence up, we put the fence a few inches on our property, and it looks like they put a little one of those rubberized sheds right up against our fence. So this survey, this old survey I have, shows the property line and shows the fence inside the property. But these people have this shed that looks like encroaching on our property. And then also some of the fence boards fell down, and I happened to look over into their yard, and we had wood posts for the fence. And they have electric plugs for a pond that's right up against the fence attached to the post. Now, when we get ready to tear the fence down, we're going to pull that electric down on them. What legal rights do I have here to approach these people?
Well, I think we always try to be pragmatic about things, right? So this is your neighbor, and you want to have good neighbors. And even though they may have taken some liberties, what I would do is, drive around the block, knock on the door and say, hey, look, we live right behind you. We're going to be replacing our fence, and we're going to get a survey and place the fence, on the property line. So we're going to ask that you remove your electrical. We'll give you notice and let you know when our crew is coming. And we'll give you notice, and then they'll stake out where the property line is, and we'll go ahead and put the fence back. And if it involves moving their rubberized fence or whatever they have up there, they may have to do that. Now, when did they build this shed?
Well, sometimes after they moved in, I believe.
And how long ago?
I think they bought the property right after Katrina. I'm not sure. I mean, they could be there 10 years.
Right. Okay, yeah. So they don't have the right to encroach upon your property. They'd have to have various set-offs, et cetera, from the property line. My guess is, and again, I don't know, but that shed may be on skids, which means it's not necessarily attached to the ground. And so they may be able to have it moved and, slid back a few feet. Hopefully that's the case. And listen, if it doesn't bother you that it's right up against your fence, and then let it go. But if it's if it's something that is a problem or has a problem getting to your fence to maintain it and repair it, then you need to just have a discussion with them about it and see what they say. And if it looks like they're going to be obstinate, maybe get a letter from a lawyer to explain, what the legal ramifications of them leaving that shed are. But I always start off being, cordial and polite and, hey, we're good neighbors. We just want to, improve things and fix our fence. And we need your cooperation, et cetera.
I agree. And I have contacted the lady, whom I do not know. But I'll have to tell you a little incident that happened not long after they moved in. I have a little shed that we built, and it was getting dilapidated and needed paint and everything. And this guy came over the fence and painted the back of our shed. And I approached him with them and said, what makes you think that you could come paint my shed? And, I mean, we didn't go back there because we didn't even notice it. And one day I went back there to pull some weeds, and I saw that they were painted green. I said, what in the world? So he said, well, we just got tired of looking at that. And I said, well, why don't you put some trees up there? So since then he put trees, but I just let that go. Okay. I mean, you know, I didn't have to look at the building. It was the back of my shed, so I didn't bother. But right. I just don't know whether I'm going to have problems with them,
well,
you know.
So. Well, okay, well,
if you do let us know.
Just give a call at 504-837-1304. Just call us, and we could discuss it more with you. Got to go to a break. Doug Santeri, Albert Nico, your weekend lawyers, all things legal. We'll be right back after this brief time out. Hey, we're back. Doug Santeri, Albert Nico, your weekend lawyers, all things legal. I want to make a clarification. When I was talking about before, you know, the court system has been backed up for about 3 months, and there's a lot of people who have pending cases that are getting continued and pushed back and delayed. And one of the suggestions I had said is you could call up the court maybe or get your attorney and just sort of goose the court to, you know, sort of get them to maybe, you know, put you at the head of the line. Now, I just wanted to clarify when I said goose, which is a colloquial term that I learned in Bucktown growing up at Lakeshore Playground. There's several definitions, and I want to clarify which one. So you know, if a judge or somebody's listening, I'm not being disrespectful. But I said, first of all, a goose is a large water bird with a long neck, short legs, and webbed feet, and a short, broad bill. I didn't mean that definition. There's another definition that says a foolish person. I didn't mean that definition. Now, the goose is a verb. I did mean it as a verb in relative to the interaction with the court. Now, this is the verb I did not mean. It says poke someone between the backside. I'm not using the word that they're using, but I just wanted to clarify that I didn't mean to use that. So, you know, if you're one of those new lawyers who's not taking the bar exam.
My daddy told me when I was little, when you find yourself in a hole, you quit digging.
I'm doing this for educational purposes. So if you're a new lawyer, don't do that. Okay. But I meant it this way: to give someone a boost, invigorate and increase. So you new lawyers who didn't take the bar, don't use the first verb. You can use the second verb in connection with the interaction with the court.
There you go.
All right, there you go. Just teach. It's a little teaching moment. All right, let's go to phone lines. Let's go to phone lines. Who we got, Doug? We have
Charles.
Charles, you on All Things Legal with Doug Santeri and Albert Nico.
Good morning, gents.
Hey, Charles. What you got for us?
How are you, sir?
Okay, I have a question regarding reassessment for my home in St. Tammany. I am on a 5-acre lot. Part of the property is for my residence. The other is considered either wetlands or woodlands. The assessor has sent a letter that is raising my assessment by about 60%. I know that I can make an appointment and discuss this, but what approach to use? I mean, comparable sales, I'm across the street from a rather high-end development or subdivision.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But I'm on the north side of the street.
How old are you?
60.
Oh, you're not quite there yet. Yeah, for the freeze, because the freeze comes at 65, you can apply, and then your home, then your property taxes become frozen once you make application with the state. So, but I would do is go get an appraisal, you know, and talk to your appraiser before he goes out there, and actually, if you find, go try to find one that banks use, because they usually are a little bit more conservative.
and go talk to them and say, listen, you know, they're assessing me based on this neighborhood or this zip code or this area of town, and explain exactly that. Look, there's a nice rich development, and then there's this kind of open land with a house on it that I have, and you know, answer less. So what can we do? Can you give me a number? And then he could perhaps give you a number as to the value, and then, you know, you can bring that to the assessor and say, look, you know, it's too high. Now, granted, depending on when the last time you were assessed, it's likely too low. I mean, they just are typically across the board, unless there's a sale or a transaction. But I would go and, you know, but maybe you're not 60% too low. So it's probably worth, you know, $400 or $500 to get an appraisal done to, you know, because you may save that in property taxes in a year or two if you're successful.
Okay, I'll try that approach.
There you go.
I'm not getting the benefits of a, subdivision.
I'm,
that's where I'm
right.
at.
But yeah, you are getting the benefit. All right, thanks for the call. And you know, in that situation with Charles, he's not getting the benefit of the subdivision. But a lot of these assessments, or you assess property with the assessor, is based on assessments maybe 5, 10, 15 years ago. So
right
before you go, right. You know, so you have to also consider that. Typically in New Orleans, if you have an assessment that you want reevaluated, say after a hurricane or it's been damaged, sure, or something like that. So, all right, well, let's go to a break. Doug Cinceri, Albert Nico, your weekend lawyers, all things legal. We'll be right back after this brief timeout. Hey, we're back. Got about 4 minutes. Got to go to the lightning round. Let's go to Abby. She's got a question. Hey, Abby, you and all things legal. How can we help you?
I was trying to find out, I'm a 76-year-old cancer patient.
Yeah.
And someone carried me on the income tax, so that disqualified me from getting a $1,200 stimulus check.
Okay.
Do you know why that rule was put in?
Why? I can't tell you why. I just know it is. Without being, sounding unsympathetic, I can't tell you why. I would suggest you call New Orleans Parish. Or what parish are you in?
Tangipahoa.
No, I can't tell you why it happened. It just is. I think it's taxpayers who are entitled to the stimulus. Don't really have an explanation. I'm sorry, Abby. Let's go to Bob's. Got a question regarding the assessor. Hey, Bob, you on all things legal. Bob off? Bob? No Bob. All right. Bob's gone. He had a question about it. So, yeah, I'm sorry, Abby. We couldn't help you with that issue. Albert, can you explain anything that goes on in Washington and why?
No, it's a crazy place, and it's getting crazier and crazier.
So,
you know, just hang in there and you know, maybe talk to your state rep and see what, right. I mean, not your state rep, it's the district rep for your House of Representatives. Call their office and find out what's going on, and if somehow they can help, or what other programs might be available. Maybe they can point.
It's a good point. I don't know if you're Garrett Graves or you Steve Scalise. I think you're one of those two. But there are a lot of programs accessible out there that people don't know about, for example, for veterans. There's a lot of programs. There's one program called the for veterans who are disabled, if they're over 65 and they're below a certain income level, aid and attendance, that only 5%, only 5%, 5 to 10% of the eligible veterans ever apply for it. Because they just don't
know. Or even aware of it.
Much less apply for it. So, Abby, I would try to do that. A lot of times if you do call your council person or your state representative or your congressional staffers, have a lot of great information that could, that's very helpful in those type of situations. And so we wish you the best of luck. You know, the council people that's people in politics who are your council person, your state representative, your state senator. You know, I think it's a good time, especially in these times, because people, get upset about what's happening today. But it's okay to share your views with them and, you know, and talk about it, because they're the ones who, you know, who ultimately are going to represent your interests. And they also
I mean, that's exactly what they are. They're your representative, and they're there to represent you and your interests and your needs. So it would behoove you to give them a call. And they're usually very helpful, especially their staffers.
Yeah, we had a situation. Yeah, we had a situation with Garrett Graves, and we had one of our clients who had a flood claim in Baton Rouge had a problem with SBA because the SBA wanted to take and keep a larger part than of their flood claim than they should have. And Garrett Graves got involved, his office got involved with it, and the person ended up, you know, getting his flood money and got SBA to back off. But it took a little work, and they really intervened, and they did a great job. So, you know. Just use it. All right. It's a wrap. We'll be back next week on All Things Legal.
We'll be back next week and every week, probably.
Probably. All right. Well, thanks for joining us, Albert. Thanks. And then
thanks for joining us too, Doug.
Yeah, well, we're joining each other. We're social distancing. That's why we say that. We're 40 miles apart. So, if you give us a call at our law firm at 504-837-1304, 504-837-1304, and on North Shore, 985-624-9697, 985-624-9697. We try to make the complex understandable. So we'll see you next week.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.